Hey, Prime members, you can listen to The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, early and ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the app today. Previously on The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Buffy, this is Ted.
Ugh.
He gives off a lot of, like, youth pastor vibes.
Roey, it's mini golf.
And then he just throws Buffy across the room.
Sure does.
So that's scary.
Yeet! Murder is a lot.
Yeah.
And I know that there's, like, 6 more seasons of this show, so, like, literally, how does she get out of this?
Is she gonna be 21 in prison doing life without parole?
Hot take. Joyce doesn't deserve Buffy.
And then he says, Daddy's here. Buffy kicks down the door.
She says, boom, baby.
She's like, drugs. I'm like, magic.
Well, why does everyone just want to pick up that crossbow?
Because if it's there, you want to use it.
I love it.
I love it.
I love it.
I'm happy that Buffy's not in prison until she's
too.
Doing life.
I'm glad she's not 21 in prison doing life without parole.
Imagine if the rest of the show really was just Buffy in prison.
It was like a Hannibal situation where, like, it's just Silence of the Lambs.
There you go.
The Scoobies just go and visit her in prison, and she gives them, like, little tipsies.
On, like, how to be the Slayer.
Yeah.
Like, she trains them on how to be the
intel.
Slayer.
And yeah. Then at the end, she escapes and, like, eats someone's face and wears it like her own.
I wasn't going to take it that far, but...
Well, you know what? From Wondery, I'm Elena.
And I'm Ash.
And this is The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
This is Season 2, Episode 12, Bad Eggs.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like, every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year, with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery. Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Okay, episode.
Wouldn't even give it that, to be honest with you.
You know, we were talking about this. This is definitely another fillery duff episode.
Mm.
But, you know, it's...
You're searching.
There's things in it that do help propel us forward.
Yeah, like the Cordy and Xander relationship.
Yeah, the Zordelia of it all.
Oh, is that their couple name?
That's what I've decided.
I like it. Zordelia.
Zordelia. The Zordelia of it all moves forward. We get to see that this is continuing to happen, and it's getting pretty intense, guys, because I don't know if you caught that, but they are definitely doing it in cars, we found out.
Yeah.
And it was kind of like, oh, okay.
Oh, my God.
Oh, they're having sex. That's happening. I thought
For
you were
real?
Just making out in broom closets, but like, whoa.
Damn.
So that was like a big revelation.
It was.
It's just like, ba-boom. And then on top of that, we got a lot of Buffy and Angel all over each other.
One might say too much.
And here's the thing. I hate the sound of that. You do too. We both are in that
misophonia place.
But it's important because we've been building and building and building to this Angel and Buffy. You know they're like passionate about each other, but they were holding back for so long. So,
now they have to propel.
It was like the Pam and Jim of it all that you were just like, I need to see you get together.
And I thought you misspoke.
No.
It took me a minute to realize that you were talking about The Office. I was like, you mean Pam and Tommy? And then I was like, Pam and Jim is The Office.
No, I'm not talking about. Did you
see that look at you?
I did.
And then I was like, I don't think that built.
No. No, we're talking about Pam and Jim. That
Jim
built.
And Pam.
That built. And that's what it is. It built up. We were waiting for this explosion. And now that they are finally, finally decided that they are meant to be together, that they love each other, that they don't care that he's a vampire and she's the Slayer. Now they can just freely be as passionate with each other as they want to be.
They can just vibe, honey.
And they are vibing. So
vibbity, vibbity vibes.
This was a lot of that. Which is very important because we want to be invested in that Angel and Buffy relationship. It's a big, pivotal, central relationship. We needed that, push forward that, they really do love each other. They really can't keep their hands off each other. It's important. In the coming episodes, it's important. So when we start, we're in the mall. And we pan up from these pretty bad shoes to some white tights to a brown dress. And I said, ooh, honey.
You said, these two.
These two.
And immediately I was like, those are the big bads.
Because, honestly, and they aren't, but like.
No, and they're not. Yeah. Spoiler alert.
Well, the
no.
guy is, actually.
Yeah.
I forgot. That's Lyle. So, yeah, because the guy's got a cowboy hat on.
Mm.
And they're walking with each other. And you're like, I don't know, something's off with you two. The girl isn't the big bad, but to be honest, her outfit was. So.
Her outfit is absolutely the big bad.
One of the big bads.
Get rid of your white tights.
It was bad. But we're in the mall. We see them. Buffy's with Joyce. And she's kind of whining and begging Joyce to get her this outfit that Joyce thinks makes her look a certain way.
Yeah. Aged like a human.
Aged like a human. But, they go back and forth. We get another but I'm thin. joke, which is very 90s.
Of course.
Everything was always about the, but it's thin.
Heroin but it's, chic.
It's really funny to watch it now because you're like, wow. But, they just kind of go back and forth about it. And this is nice because we get the Joyce back that we were looking for. She's coming off those, ecstasy brownies that she was being fed constantly. And she's now back to her, we have a funny relationship.
Mm.
A little bit of a unusual one because of, the trouble that Buffy has gotten into. So it does make them have kind of a little wall up with each other.
And then at the end, she gets a little mean.
Yeah. But pretty much. I was going to say, I can't really defend it. But it comes off of the last episode where the last scene was them sitting on the porch. They talk about the movie night and they talk about it like they've done this all the time.
Yeah,
so you're that's who they are.
Clearly they have a bond.
They do. But they're noticing that the stores are going to close soon. And Joyce asks Buffy to go pick up her outfit from the tailor. And the tailor is called Everyday Woman.
wow.
And Buffy's do you want to just go to Moo Moo's R Us? And Joyce is you know what? Go get me the clothes now and you can make fun of me later. So it's a cute little back and forth. But Buffy just kind of shuffles away and she gets on the escalator. She puts her hands on both of the railings on the escalator and... Ooh, we're living in a COVID world, my friends. And currently, we are in stomach virus season. So my alarm bells, I was like, girl, those are so dirty.
As soon as she did it, I was like, germ city.
I was like, you gotta wash your hands.
I was like, oh, I look at those handles and I picture the microscopic nasties just oozing all over it.
It really stressed me out. It really stressed me out. But she's going down the escalator and she, her Slayer senses are really always one step ahead of danger.
Mm-hmm.
Because coming up the escalator on the other side, we see... our white tights gal in the brown dress.
Yeah.
And she is being almost assaulted at this point, but she's she doesn't look upset about it. But like, he was way too, the cowboy guy was like way too much on top of her.
Wow.
Like right on top of her on the escalator, like very touchy feely, like basically bear hugging her on the escalator. And it was very disconcerting. But Buffy looks at the reflection behind her and sees
he's not
in the reflection. So she's like, uh-oh, we got ourselves a vampire. So she looks back and she sees that this cowboy is literally inches from this girl's face.
Yeah.
Like disgusting inches. She knows something's wrong. So she follows them into an arcade and the girl is playing, you know, pinball, I think it was.
Yeah, and there's nobody in the arcade right now. Yeah. It's clearly closed.
Yeah, it's just closed.
But yeah, pinball.
Yeah, and the guy's behind her, and she's very focused on becoming, you know, a pinball champion.
Of course.
And he's like, he has a very thick Southern accent. He's like, turn around, darling. Like, ugh. And she's like, wait, I'm becoming a pinball wizard. Like, you can wait.
Give me a sec.
And we see that behind her, he's got full vamped out. He's just waiting for her to turn around. And he tells her that she has the prettiest neck that he ever did see.
Got the prettiest neck I ever did see.
Oof. Oof, oof. And he moves in to bite her neck, but Buffy walks in and she's like, do you ever have any new lines?
Which like, is Jesus. So true.
So our pinball wizard immediately is like, excuse me. And she's like, do you mind? Like immediately. And it's like, okay, calm down.
Right.
First of all,
I'm saving your life, ma'am.
But Buffy, of course, always quick, looks right at who we find out is Lyle in a minute. And she says this.
You promised you'd never cheat on me again, honey.
And this is when our pinball princess is like, oh, okay. She decides this is not worth her trouble. And she's like, you know what? I actually have to be somewhere. And she just kind of scoots away. And before she scoots away, she turns around and sees that this is not the Lyle that she fell in love with on that escalator.
Of course not.
This is a really ugly vampire.
That was a different time on that escalator.
It certainly was. So Buffy and Lyle, they basically go at it. We hear Western music. It's like,
it's very twangy.
Yeah, the music gets super twangy. They start sparring with each other. At one point, he says, giddy up. And at another point, he says, you're a rough one, ain't you? And I said, vomit. I just said, gag, gag, gag. Vomit, vomit, vomit. That's what I said.
Stomach bug everywhere. Yay.
Neurovirus, bleh. But yeah, his name is Lyle. See, that's the he's the neurovirus you get on the escalator stairs.
Yes.
Railings.
Lyle.
That's what you're going to pick up.
Lyle's contagious.
That's what happens when you touch the railings. You get Lyle.
Yeah, and you don't want Lyle.
He is a neurovirus. But they're like going at it. And before things even get interesting, he somersaults away from Buffy and he's like, this isn't over. And then he just runs away.
She scared him.
Yeah. And like he said, like he knows that she's the Slayer. He's like, oh, you're the one I've been hearing about and all that. But he just gets out of there. Mm-hmm. Like he doesn't even try for this. He's like, bye.
He's absolutely terrified.
And I love it because she looks after him and just says, oh, sure. They say they'll call. Which, not her best line.
No, it didn't land. When she said that, I was like, wait, what? He didn't say he would call.
Yeah, it's just like, I know you're calling back to that whole thing where you were pretending like, you said you wouldn't cheat on me, honey. And now you're like, oh, sure. But it's like, I don't know about that one.
Yeah, it just wasn't her best work.
Not your best work. So the next scene, we see Buffy meeting Joyce at the food court. And Joyce immediately asks Buffy, hey, where's my dress?
Dun, dun, dun.
Buffy literally just scrunches up her face and it's like, ugh. And Joyce is like, let me guess, you were distracted by a boy. And Buffy's like, well, technically.
sort of.
She's like, I'll go get it now. And Joyce is like, girlfriend, they're closed. And like, I don't blame her in this scenario.
No,
like,
this
what
is
the
annoying.
Fuck were you doing? I just had you go get my dress. You didn't even do that.
Exactly.
And so she kind of scolds her and she says, a little responsibility is all I ask. And then she asks her, do you ever think of anything besides boys and clothes? And Buffy goes, saving the world from vampires? Just flat out.
She
like,
just says
I
it.
Also think of that. And Buffy's like, oh, God, I don't even know what goes on in your head sometimes.
Or Joyce is like that.
Or Joyce says that, sorry.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's like, oh, I'm not even entertaining that. But I'm like, she just admitted to you her biggest secret, actually.
Yeah. And if you look around in the town you're living in, Joycey girl, makes sense.
Yeah. If you remember, Spike almost killed you.
And no questions were asked.
Yeah. We're just going with it. But all right. Now we see Xander and Cordelia. in the janitor's closet together.
Yeah, we do.
They are going at it.
I ship them real hard.
Yeah, this is a fun one.
I know that this isn't even going to work out, and I'm devastated by it.
You're already devastated by their breakup.
Yeah, I am. Because, of course, I mean, I don't see it going far.
I'm not going to say anything. Wouldn't
stab early on in the episode.
And I'm going to turn the other way and not give you shite.
Okay.
Okay. But they're really going at it. And at one point, Cordelia says that she's worried they're going to miss class. And Xander turns on the light, like pulls the cord. And he says,
"You know what? This would work a lot better for me if you didn't talk."
Which, wow, Xander.
Yeah, that's a Xanderism right there, where you're just like, oh.
And it's like, I get it, because this is kind of their thing, that they're like real nasty to each other. And this is like their... You know,
but you got to change it up a little
like,
now.
You're making out with her right now. Maybe don't just be like, don't speak.
It's different hats.
You know? There's different. You got to put on that sexy hat for a second, Xander.
Exactly.
If you want to be part of Zordelia, you need to wear a sexy hat sometimes.
Wear
your sexy hat. Cordelia doesn't take that one out lightly. And she says this.
"Well, it'd work a lot better for me with the lights off."
LOL.
And she pulls the cord, turns off the light. So they go back into it for a minute. And then all of a sudden, Xander seems to like finally realize what he was just said to him.
Yeah.
And he turns on the light for a third time and says,
"Are you saying that you can't look at me when we do whatever it is we do?"
And Cordelia's like, "Yeah, no, it's not that I can't. It's just like,
I don't want to.
And he's upset, but they're like repulsed by each other, but like not.
I think the thing is, like, they clearly think each other is hot. They're just in different social circles. Like,
exactly.
You can say to each other, like, "You're really hot. I know we're not supposed to like each other because high school, but like, you're hot and I'm hot. So let's do this."
But Xander's upset because he's like, we hide from everybody, you know. All of this is really not a big self-esteem booster. Like, you seem like you like me, but you won't tell anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So Cordelia's like, "Yeah, I know. Like, your clothes and shoes suck." So like that, yeah, absolutely. And it's like, yeah, you're totally on the same wavelength
same
there.
Page.
And Xander's like, "Yeah, I don't need this." And Cordelia and him both reach for the doorknob to leave. And then they just immediately go back to making out with each other, literally like sinking to the floor out of frame.
I love them a lot. I'm also like, were you only making out in that closet or did things escalate?
No, now I'm convinced.
I am too.
That they are fucking in the janitor's closet at school.
That's grody. That is like on some Laura Lee, Jax, and Vanderpump Rules shit.
Yeah, it is.
Look it up. Look it up.
Yeah, that's some like, they think that Buffy is a bad girl.
Cordy.
My goodness.
Cordy's wild.
My goodness. You're getting busy in the janitor's closet between classes.
Good for you, girl.
That's a lot.
But that's grody.
But that's gross. So we're in health class now, which is funny.
Wait, because immediately after it goes from that scene, it's literally like in Mean Girls when because he just goes sex.
Sex.
You're like, so, whoa.
I think that answers our question of were they doing something different? Because that was the little like, yep, they are.
Yep.
And Mr. Whitmore, the teacher, is talking about how intense the sex drive in the human animal is. And he asks the class, how many of us have lost countless productive hours to thoughts about sex?
Mm-hmm.
Xander just raises his hand and is like, me. And Cordelia is just cringing. And Mr. Whitmore is like, yeah, that was a rhetorical question and not a poll, Mr. Harris, but thank you. And he continues saying that the urges are even more overwhelming for teenagers because hormones. And we're watching Willow, and she looks so horrified, but also just like glued to this lesson.
Yeah, she's nervous.
And Mr. Whitmore, he asks what a bad consequence of sexual activity is, which obviously the first thing you would say is like unwanted pregnancy.
Yeah, an STD.
An STD, like sad feelings. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, there's a few.
But Cordelia raises her hand and she says this.
Well, that depends. Are you talking about sex in the car or out of the car? Because I have a friend, not me, that was in a Miata at part to the top of the hill, and then she kicked the gear shift and...
Obviously, she's talking about her. This is how we discover that her and Xander fuck in a car, because Xander is looking so uncomfortable during this whole thing.
Yeah.
And the teacher interrupts her and is like, yeah, I'm thinking about something that's more of a common experience. I don't know if that one is.
This poor teacher.
Xander is so annoyed and he raises his hand to retaliate. So he says, well, what about the heartbreak of halitosis? And then he furthers it by saying this.
I mean, a girl may seem spiffy, but if she ignores her flossing, the bloom is definitely off the rose.
And Cordelia's like, oh, like, and he's looking right at Cordelia as he says it. And then she's like, well, let's talk about boys who use the Hoover technique and think that's a big turn on. Willow's watching this happen and is like, what the fuck is going on?
Clearly something's happening.
Yeah. And then Xander kind of mentions like feigning interest in her vapid little chit chat just to get a little touch, which is like, whoa, yeah. We're getting into like eek territory. But the class is a little chaotic at this point.
Yeah.
It's gone off the rails.
A little bit.
I said, Mr. Whitmore, get control of your students.
Come on.
And then he said, okay. And he did. He said, I would like someone to mention literally anything else, any other consequence. And Cordelia raises her hand and he's like, no, no.
No, not
so
you.
So Willow comes to the rescue and she's like, unwanted pregnancy.
Boom.
And he's like, awesome, let's keep going. So he tells the class that their next assignment, thanks to Willow's answer, which is what he was looking for, is that they are all going to be separating into parenting teams and they are going to raise an egg. We never did this in school.
We didn't have eggs. We had actual babies.
But not like real babies.
Oh, yeah.
No. No. I was like, what the fuck?
No, they were like robot babies.
Yeah, I was going to say they didn't just
infants. Like this mom volunteered like so many of her kids.
So many babies.
Just, no, we had little robot babies.
That's wild to me.
Yeah, it wasn't, I didn't have to do it. It was like in a certain class, but I had to spend a weekend with my friend when she had her baby.
Yeah.
And we all had to wake up in the middle of the night because that thing would wah, wah, wah.
I feel, I wonder if it works at all.
I don't know.
Yeah, it never made sense to me.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Do you ever wonder where all your money went? Like every single time you look at your bank account? Honestly, it's probably all those subscriptions. I felt that way too, until I got Rocket Money. Rocket Money helped me see all the subscriptions I'm paying for, and it was eye-opening. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, it all adds up so quickly. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/Wondery. rocketmoney.com/Wondery.
Willow is very excited to raise an egg. And turns to Xander, thinking they're going to pair up. But he just stands and tries to go to Cordelia. Mm. And then and Willow is, like, clearly saddened. It always breaks my heart.
I know, because she looks like one of your kids.
I'm going to need Willow and Oz to fully become. Because,
let's
like, this is killing
go.
Me. And I forgot how hard it was to watch.
It is.
But, you know. Karma is quick, though, because he goes up to Cordelia. And Cordelia's already asking the guy sitting next to her just to make Xander jealous. So he just looks to a stranger.
With
and
a great like, sweater.
Do you want to be the mother of my egg? And she's like, and it's
she
like,
she doesn't even answer. She just lolls.
Yeah. Just how about you look at Willow and say, let's be parents together?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, come on, man. But The next scene is Willow and Xander going into the library, you know, with their new offspring. And they ask Buffy why she wasn't in class. And Buffy's just standing there, like, thumbing through a book. Like, I'm like, you just hang out in that library all the time. But she tells them she had vampire issues, and she asks if anyone noticed if she wasn't there. And Willow's like, yeah, and here's your egg. So Buffy's a little confused, and I love it because she's like, oh, he did notice I wasn't there.
As far as punishments go, this is fairly abstract.
I love that line.
That one's good.
But Willow's, you know, explains the whole thing. This is your new baby. It's and Buffy's baby. Like, what the fuck? And Xander explains, well, you know, it's the whole sex leads to responsibility thing. And then he says, you know, you got to take care of an egg. It's a baby. You got to keep it safe and teach it Christian values. And Willow's like, my egg is Jewish.
Hello.
And then he goes, teach it that dreidel song. I was like, what is happening?
She's
right
like,
now?
Okay.
I love it, though. Buffy is not happy. She puts it down and is like, I don't want anything to do with this. And she's like, I'm going to suck at this. And because she finds out that she doesn't even have a partner, like, because she wasn't there, so nobody could pair up with her.
Yeah.
So she's like, I'm a single mother. And then she says something about how she's doomed to lead her mother's life. And Xander's like, no, don't worry. This whole thing is pointless anyways. As this whole thing is happening, Giles comes out of his cage. I still love that cage.
And he's doing just fine.
He's doing just fine. Coming out of my cage and I've been doing just fine. Yeah, he's coming out with a giant book. Doing just fine.
Mm-hmm.
He almost slams the book down on Buffy's egg, which is hilarious. But he says that he has found out who the cowboy is, and it's Lyle Gorch.
Yeah.
Lyle Gorch.
Lyle.
And he says that he and his brother, Tector.
It's like Hector, but different.
But Tector, with a T. They massacred a Mexican village before they became vampires.
I buy that.
As humans.
I buy that.
They massacred a village in Mexico.
Yeah, they did.
What the fuck?
They were not fucking around.
Yeah. Giles does say that they were definitely dumb. Like, he's like, they're dumb, so I'm not, like, super worried about it. And he says they were probably drawn to the power of the Hellmouth. And he said they're not going to be recruited by a software situation anytime soon.
Which so, like, is a callback.
It is. It's a little nod. But Giles notices that everyone's holding the eggs, and he's like, what the fuck's going on? Willow just ignores it, and she's like, you should ask Angel to find the two brothers. Because Willow's always doing best friend work.
Yeah.
Always.
She's looking out for her girl.
Yeah. And I love it because Buffy says, please, like, Angel and I are just helpless slaves to passion. Grow up.
And then.
And then we cut to Buffy and Angel on patrol.
Or on each other.
Yes, very much a euphemism for almost doing something that is a felony in all states.
Whoa.
In public.
Wowie.
I mean, in public.
Yes.
You can't fuck in public in most places.
I got it.
All right. I was like,
thanks for explaining.
I was like, I just want to be clear about this. You know, guys.
You know.
Did you know that you can't fuck in a graveyard? It's pretty uncomfortable because it is very long and very intense.
Uncomfortable.
Yeah. And she keeps trying to stop herself, and she's like, we're not accomplishing much. We're supposed to be on patrol. They're tearing themselves away from each other. They walk literally a step and are like, don't see anything. And then they're just right back at it.
Tongue wrestling.
So much. The camera pans to the side, though, and we see that Hector and Lyle, the Gorches.
It's Tector.
Tector, damn it.
I think I messed you up because I think I said it's like Hector.
Yeah, you did. You did. It's your fault.
I'm sorry.
Tector and Lyle Gorch are just sitting on the wall watching the show like little fucking perverts. And Tector asks Lyle if that's the Slayer. And then he says, and is that Angelus? Or does he, how does he say it? Like Angelus?
Angelus.
Yeah, that's what it is. Is that Angelus over there?
Is that Angelus?
And he's like, well, how come she ain't slaying? And how come he's about to make me blush? And I'm like, ugh.
You do a really good Southern accent.
Thank you. And Texter's like, why are we not, what?
You said Texter.
Did I? Texter. Tector. 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 So our friend Tech over here. Tech is over there. And he says, why are we not attacking them? Like, they're making out with each other. That honestly would be the first, like, the best time to attack.
I think it's because Lyle's scared.
Well, Lyle says, I got a plan. And he says, I want to wait till she's alone.
But he doesn't do that.
He does not.
Ever. I think they don't have a plan.
I think they might be dumb.
I think they're scared.
So we see Buffy in her room. She's referring to her egg at first as egg dude. And she's checking off the egg duties. She's like, fed him, burped him. She didn't do any of that. It's an egg.
No. But like,
yeah, sure.
Why would you do any of that?
You could just check those off at the end of the night. And she puts them in her little, like, all the eggs have these little baskets. It's pretty cute. And she says, good night, Egbert. So apparently in the middle of the night, Egbert started wilding. Egbert is like raving in his bassinet. He's wiggling. He's poking out of his shell. And all of a sudden, something breaks through. And it looks like, Mikey said it best. He said it looked like one of those jelly sticky hands you would get at the out of those dispensers. They were like these long, an arm with like a hand and you could like fling it at the wall and shit.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
Mikey compared it to that and I was like, holy shit, that's so right. Yeah. And it's reaching towards, but it's disgusting looking.
And it's like pale pink.
Oh, and like with like dots on it. Oh, it's just really gross. And at this point we went to commercial break. So as you can imagine, I was worried for our Buffalo. But when we come back, one of these tendrils or finger things go in her ear.
Ugh.
And the other one goes on her eye, like her eyelids.
She doesn't wake up.
She's fast asleep.
It's in her ear, mama.
If something touches me in the ear while I am asleep,
I'm out.
You better believe we are going to have a fight.
We're going to have more than just a fight. We're going to call the authorities.
I'm going to call the authorities, but I'm going to beat your ass before I get those authorities here.
I hate it.
It literally looks like, something out of the human body that we should never see.
Yeah.
Like it really does. It looks like parts of the nervous system. Like it's like,
sure.
It's a lot.
It's gross.
It's really a lot. It's gross. I hate it so much. And she doesn't move.
No.
She doesn't wake up. And then we just go to another scene. It's like, oh, yep, that's happening.
It's like, what the hell is happening?
So we see Lyle and he's with Tector and they are trying to sleep in like a sewer. And Tector is whining that he's tired of eating rats and he wishes he was in a hotel with an ice machine.
You know, he's how bougie, fancy, you know? Those are.
We didn't know this about Tector. I can't do it. I can't do it.
Just call him T.
We didn't know this about T, but he's real bougie.
Bougie bitch.
He's real bougie. He doesn't even have a name. He's so bougie. And Lyle's like, listen, we're trying to keep a low profile. Then we'll deal with the Slayer. Like, shut the hell up. And T is like,
I'd see.
Why's Angelus getting so cuddly with that Slayer?
I think he likes her.
I think he does too. Or he's jealous of Buffy getting cuddly with Angel.
Oh, yeah. Maybe Angelus. He likes Angel.
Maybe
Angelus.
He likes Angelus.
Maybe.
You never know. Now, Lyle is really annoyed by this. Like, stop asking me questions that I don't know the answer to. And so T tells him that he doesn't like Sunnydale because there aren't any. And he says something pretty nasty. Ladies for him, I will say.
He says the W word.
Yeah. And he says it like just in a casual way.
Aged like a human.
Yeah. But if you think about it, these two idiots are from like a time gone by where that, and they're like cowboys from like a time gone by.
Yeah.
That would have been vernacular that would have probably been used by them.
Probably.
It's not okay. It's not right. And it's not okay.
And it's not okay.
We're all going to make it anyway. But like that did that. You're like, okay, that probably would come out of your dumbass mouth.
Yeah. It checks.
So I was like, okay. But you're right. Age like a human. Lyle's done. Done with his shit, really annoyed. And then we find out that, like, their mom just split when they were little and that Lyle, like, had to take care of T.
Yeah.
Who was just left on a doorstep.
That was heavy.
I was like, oh.
I was like, okay, Harry Potter.
Like, I don't feel bad for them because they're pieces of shit.
No,
but, like,
they slaughtered a whole village.
But it's like, wow. Like, you didn't need to give me that. I didn't need to know that.
They have a lot of trauma, clearly.
Yeah. They get kind of at each other. And at one point, Lyle threatens to literally beat Tector up and then throw him into the sunlight.
Yeah.
Which is like just sibling stuff, you know?
Yeah, I'm always saying that to you.
Yeah, we are constantly threatening to beat each other up and throw each other into harm's way.
I'm going to beat you into the sunlight.
Yeah, I'm going to beat you into the sunlight, all right?
Square up.
Square up. Then they just start punching each other.
Yeah.
And they're like laughing at times, but like serious at other times. I think I'm like,
boys.
Is this just guys, is this like your love language?
Guys being dudes.
Just boys being guys.
Just dudes being dudes.
Bros being dudes.
I bet it's Saturday.
Yeah.
Saturday is for the boys.
It is for them. It's for Lyle and T.
T.
And T, because I can't say it.
Tector.
I don't know why I have such a mental block about that name.
Tector.
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 All right, so the next morning, Egbert has turned his eggshell around, so Buffy can't see the hole that has poked through it. So she wakes up, she looks at the egg, and she's like, hey, Egbert. And she wakes up, she goes down to get some coffee. Joyce is, like, kind of being funny and asks her how parenting is going.
It is funny.
And Buffy's like, yeah, it's fine. And Joyce is like, you know, is your egg secure in this basket here? Like, being, like, kind of a grandma.
Like
being a little bit of a grandma there. And Buffy's like, did I ask for backseat momming?
LOL.
But she's like, wow, you're really in a bad mood today. And she's like, I didn't get a lot of sleep. And she's like, did your egg keep you up all night? Like, I love that they she just kept funny. Poking. And she just like, she could see that Buffy was getting annoyed. But like, you can't get annoyed at that kind of mom
no,
joke.
It's funny.
Like, did your egg keep you up all night? It did, actually.
Yeah.
Too.
Yeah.
But again, this is like really nice to see. I like this.
Yeah, I like this.
And we needed this. I think that's another reason why we needed this episode.
It would like to come out of Ted. Us, yeah.
And to give you more Buffy and Joyce being Buffy and Joyce.
Yeah.
You know, we couldn't come just right out of Ted.
Never.
So we see that Giles is coming out of the stacks in the library and he sees Buffy, Xander, and Willow standing there. And he's like, why are you all here?
He's like, please go to
class. Like, why are you just standing silently holding eggs? And they say that Mr. Whitmore canceled health class. And Giles is like, okay, well, you can help me then. Willow and Buffy are definitely off. They're both seem exhausted, just not with it. They're like lounging back. Xander's like, I'll help you. But Giles is like, Buffy, how did patrolling go? And she was like, we didn't really find anybody. We didn't find the Gorches. But she's really like, she's short with him.
Very
she's not
short.
Giving him a lot. And Xander is like, hey, like, why are you so quiet? And Giles is like, yeah, like you and Willow, you seem very lethargic. And they're trying to come up with things like, you know, maybe it was something we ate. And Xander says this.
It's the burden of parenthood. Notice how seriously you two have taken this egg thing. Well, I in turn have, chosen a more balanced approach.
And then he starts throwing his egg up in the air. And at one point, it's thrown like on the ground, like literally thrown on the ground. And they're like, why did that not break? And he says that he hard-boiled his egg.
I would have done that, too. That's smart.
That is so genius.
Yeah.
I didn't think of that.
Honestly, if I were a teacher, though, I would crack them all at the end to see who had boiled and who hadn't.
It's genius for the time, like for the moment.
Yeah.
But, like, you're right. At the end, I would think
a teacher
would crack them to make sure that wasn't the case. But, damn. I was like, that was smart. I like that. Willow's really disgusted by this. She's like, you boiled your young.
It is funny.
And he says,
yeah, I know it sounds cruel, but sometimes you got to be cruel to be kind. I mean, you can bet that little Xander here is thick skin now.
So Giles is like, you're cheating.
Yeah.
Like just putting it
He's
on.
He's like, let me simplify that.
Yeah. And he puts a book on a shelf and he doesn't notice that there's an egg just doing the Makita back there.
Oh, shit.
Back there in the stacks, this little egg is just Makita-ing.
Dun, dun, dun.
But yeah, they're all yelling at Xander about cheating. And Giles says what is a very beautiful sentence. He says this.
I suppose there is a sort of Machiavellian ingenuity to your transgression.
Wow.
And it's beautiful.
It is.
Like, that's a beautiful statement.
It is.
And my favorite part of this is that Xander's like, how dare you? But then he's like, thank you. Has no idea he's what he like, was just saying.
I don't know what you said.
But I want to give you an answer no matter what. So take one. Choose your own adventure.
Yay.
Cordelia enters the room and she's like, guys, like Mr. Whitmore isn't in school. And they're like, yeah, I know. Like that's old news. And she's like, yeah, he's missing and presumed dead. And they're all like, what the fuck?
Oh my God, by who?
They're like, what? And she's like, well, me. Obviously.
Cordy girl.
And Giles says this.
I think we should give him a few hours before we give up on him completely.
Which, like,
I don't think we should.
Honestly, in Sunnydale, no.
No.
I think you're right.
As
I think
soon
we
as he's
should
gone,
just
go.
Get on it. Because she's not wrong.
You saw what happened to my man? My man, Flutie?
We saw it.
Somebody should have checked on him.
We saw it. And Cordelia's with you.
Yeah.
A little bit.
Sort of.
And she says to Xander,
well, his body could fall out of a closet somewhere.
So we should check some closets to see if he's in a closet.
Xander gets this.
Yeah.
After she beats him on the head with this, he's like, oh, yes. And he's like, all right, I'll go with Cordelia. You guys figure out what's going on. Bye.
Bye.
And I love it because Willow is like, are they being weird? And then she says, have you noticed the weirdness of them? And they're just like, yeah, I don't know, whatever. But Buffy says that she will go on patrol, even though Giles is a little concerned for her. But she's like, Angel will help me.
Yeah.
Of course he will. Once again, Buffy and Angel are in the cemetery making out.
Always.
And, yeah. And it's just going on and on. And at one point, finally, she says she has to go home to fill out her egg diary. And he's like, what the fuck? And she's like, oh, it's an assignment. And then she says, I'm really planning to have kids anytime soon. Maybe someday in the future when I'm done having a life. But right now, kids would be just a little too much to deal with, which I agree. You're 16, for one, and you are the vampire slayer. So, yeah, that would be a lot to deal with.
Yeah.
This is when Angel kind of, like, clearly is like, fuck, like, this could be a bone of contention. And he's like,
I don't think you guys need to have this conversation right now.
Not necessarily, but it's also like, you should know that you can never have kids with me.
Yeah.
Like, that is something if you're like, I mean, he's a million years old. So it's like, he's probably being like, just so you know, like, if you don't want to waste time on me now.
Right.
Because you are looking to have kids in the future, I can't give you that.
Mm.
Which I think is kind of like, good on him.
Yeah, totally.
Like, he's just reminding her, like, if that is something you feel like is in your future, I can't give you that.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get it somewhere else.
In the fact that, like, she's 16, so they still have plenty of fun left to have.
Oh, yeah.
First.
Absolutely. But she does seem slightly saddened by it.
Like, she definitely
does. You can
does.
See, like, on her face, which it would be a hard revelation to hear. Like, you love this person.
Yeah.
You are very attracted to this person. Obviously, you enjoy this person's company. They have been through life or death situations with you several times. You have died in their presence, in fact. And it's like,
you're both really attractive and could have some really cute kids.
Exactly. So it's like hearing, I absolutely cannot give you children,
yeah,
would be a big hit. Like, yeah, that would be tough. And especially 16, almost 17 year old, and you're like, hormones everywhere. You really love this guy. And now it's like, oof. You know, like, that's a hard, like, eek. All right, well, we don't have to deal with that now, but that will be something we have to deal with if we stay together.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Just like her going off to college.
Exactly.
You know?
It's like, there's all kinds of shit that's gonna...
Live in the now, guys.
Just, yeah, don't worry about that.
Don't worry about that.
Just deal with that shitstorm when it comes.
Yeah, you got plenty
of
time.
No, Angel kind of sees that, because she kind of, like, backtracks what she said. And he kind of picks up on this, and he's like, well, so you don't care what your future holds? And she says the most 16-year-old thing ever. She says this.
Angel, when I look into the future, all I see is you.
Yeah, it's sweet. Their love is real.
It is.
Their love is real. Their love is true. Their love is 16-year-old love.
It is.
No, it's actually, like, it's real love, guys. It's real fucking love.
You're putting on a roller coaster.
I'm standing them. Okay, that's a thing, right? You stand.
Standing them?
Is that a thing? Or is that used to be a thing?
I don't know if you stand a relationship. I think you ship a relationship.
Oh, that's what it is. I knew it began with an S.
Yeah. I mean, you probably could stand a relationship.
I think you're right.
I'm not as in touch as I once was.
But I think you're right. I think you're supposed to ship
shipping
someone.
It, yeah.
So I ship them. And he tells her that he knows the feeling, which is like, I also only want you. And then he leans in to kiss her. And as they start making out, for some reason, we go by a grave that says in loving memory. And they really sit on that for a minute.
It's a little disheartening. And I said, maybe you shouldn't make out leaned up against somebody's grave.
And then I said, maybe that, and this is a real conversation
real.
That happened. I said, well, maybe that person loves love and was just like, get it, guys. And is like feeling good about it. It's like, get it.
And I said, you right.
And I said, you right.
And I looked at him, and then he looked at me.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Then we see a security guard walking around Sunnydale High, and he notices that the basement door is open, and of course he goes down there instead of just locking it.
Always.
I wish he just locked it. And he finds this giant hole in the wall that looks like it's going into like a cave.
Uh-huh.
And of course he leans to look into it. And suddenly Mr. Whitmore, missing and presumed dead, pushes him into the hole holding a pickaxe.
Yeah.
And I was like, damn.
I was like, I didn't expect to see you here.
No, I did not either.
I was a little shook.
So that happens. Then we see Buffy just crawl under a bedroom window, and she sees that Egbert is still just having a Makita moment in his little bassinet that she has made for him.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. That's what happened.
That was really good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Your head snapped.
It
over.
Did. That was like,
that was real.
I was like, whoa.
That was real emotion.
Is
and
Savage
I appreciate
in the room?
Yes. But she's like, wait a second. And she gets way too close to this thing, inspecting it. I was like, and that's when it cracks open and Egbert, the little, like, you know, part of the nervous system creature, just shoots out, like launches at her face, making this like screeching sound.
Ugh.
It doesn't hit her because she moves, but it skitters under her bed and it looks like the most giant house centipede I've ever seen. And I am so triggered by it.
It's like a house centipede, like,
and a scorpion.
And a scorpion and a lobster.
Yeah.
All in one.
It's so gross.
It's terrible.
I hate it so much. And she grabs her iron and we get all these shots of like, her feet over her shoulder. We're like panning around her bedroom. It's like the tension is too much. And then Egbert just falls onto her shoulder.
I was so done in this moment.
And it gets away again because she like freaks out and it crawls up the fucking wall. Which just makes me think of every house centipede I've ever seen.
Ew.
And I hate house centipedes. I've discussed this on Morbid before. I fucking hate house centipedes. And this just reminded me of one. And she gets scissors and just like stabs that shit to death. Like just kills it. And then she dials Willow on the phone immediately.
911, what's your emergency?
And she's like, what? Are you okay, Willow? And she's like, she tells her what happened with her egg. And Willow's like, she's like, you need to crush your egg. Kill your egg. Like something's in there. And Willow's like, my egg is in the fridge. And she's like, I don't know. Maybe your egg attacked you because the Gorch brothers like set you up. Mm. Maybe that was an egg they put, which is not a bad, like, yeah, that could be it. A good theory. But Buffy's like, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bother you. Like, that's fine. I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm confused because that egg can still be a dick while in the fridge.
Absolutely.
Right? Like, getting in the fridge doesn't like take it down.
It could taint your food supply.
And it's just like, it's still an asshole in there.
Yeah,
it's
going to open
like
the
now
fridge.
When you open the fridge, it's just going to come flying out at you.
Blech.
Like, I don't think there's anything that, like, Buffy didn't call her and say, hey, crush that egg or
put
lightly
it on ice.
Frost it. Because if you do that, it'll just stay in the egg. Like, what?
I don't know, girl.
But they hang up and Willow hangs up her phone and we see that her egg is broken and empty. So it is hatched, and she is just staring blankly into the screen.
She was lying.
Something's amiss.
Something is amiss.
Something is amiss. Joyce comes into Buffy's room as she's hanging up the phone. It is 2:45 a.m., by the way. I don't blame Joyce in this moment, because Buffy is fully dressed at 2:45.
She was either going somewhere or came back from somewhere.
And Joyce is like, where were you going? And she's like, oh, I wasn't going anywhere. And she's like, who were you on the phone with at 2:45 a.m.? And she's like, oh, I was calling Willow because Willow didn't feel good at school. And Joyce is like, no. You're going to try it. Like, do you think I was born yesterday?
Yeah.
Come on.
Buffy's got to work on her lying skills.
And then Buffy's like, I had a bad dream. And Joyce goes, you're about to have a bad dream. I was like, damn, Joyce. But she tells her, you're grounded for the rest of your natural life, essentially. Yeah. And we see them in the car the next morning, and she's continuing to tell Buffy how she is grounded. And she tells her after school, she has to immediately go to the library and that she will pick her up at 5:30, which, like, that's a long time.
Yeah, because school ends at 2:30, and at 2:33, Joyce expects Buffy to be in the library. I'd be like, listen, Mom, you're giving me a lot of free time here to fuck shit up.
And she does.
And I'm gonna.
Yeah. So she goes into school, and we see that Cordelia's wearing a stuffed bear backpack.
I was like, what the fuck is that?
Those kind of weird things were cool in the 90s. Like those, you know, like, yeah. Like no, kid things, you know, like.
Even still, I feel like, because the 90s happens, is kind of coming back. You're right. Yeah.
Those like strange kid type things become trendy, and you're like, hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, she points it out, so you know the bear backpack is going to have something to do with what's going on.
Yeah.
And she's talking about how she got this from her father, wherever she got it, and that she was the one who started this trend, yada, yada, yada. So Buffy is confused, and she calls her Soliloquy Girl.
That was funny.
Yeah, she's like, okay, Soliloquy Girl. And then she's like, was your egg acting odd at all last night? And Cordelia's like, it's an egg. It didn't act like anything. It didn't emote, Buffy. It doesn't emote.
I loved that she said that.
I love that. And we see that Xander is hungry and decides that he's going to eat his hard-boiled egg. A hard-boiled egg that he boiled days ago.
A boyfriend.
Hello.
And not only days ago, but has been carrying around in the tepid air.
Like salmonella, here we come.
Just like bad food.
So he cracks the egg. Willow, Buffy, and Cordelia are like walking towards him. And they're talking about how it was probably to set a trap by the Gorches, like Buffy's egg. And Willow asks if she brought Egbert's corpse. And Buffy's like, I did. I brought it with me.
Of course I did.
Yeah. She's like, I brought it here. And she says, you know, Giles wanted to see it. That's why I brought it. And Willow's like, you know what? Go get Giles and bring him to the science lab so we can analyze it. And Buffy's like, okay. And then she says this, which I relate to hard.
You know, I always say that a day without an autopsy, it's like a day without sunshine.
Me too, girl. As she says this, the camera goes down to Willow's back, and we can see sticking out of her clothes that there is one of those gross Egbert things attached to her back.
And it's like a little bloody.
Oh, it's disgusting. Like it's like put its like tentacles inside of
like
her.
Like a
or something.
Leech.
Yeah, exactly. It's, ooh. And they reach Xander as he's about to take a bite of his egg, which when you look at it, it has one of those creatures all balled up in it. He sees it right before he takes a bite and throws it.
His kind of looks like dragon fruit. Oh, it kind of does.
Did it? I thought it looked disgusting.
It looks like pale dragon fruit.
I thought it looked like some kind of like sea creature.
Yeah, also that.
Just in an egg. And I was like, oh, no.
Yeah,
no.
Yeah.
So in the science lab, Xander and Buffy are basically arguing about who's going to eviscerate the corpse.
Not me.
And Willow grabs a scalpel because she's Willow. She's not going to fuck around. And we see the camera goes around Cordelia's back to her bear backpack. And we see that the eyes of her bear backpack are popping out and there's something moving inside.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good. Xander is taking guesses about what happened to Mr. Whitmore. And Cordelia says that maybe he saw this thing and he ran away. Buffy's like, I don't know. I don't think that's all that happened. And now we don't know where he is. And Willow's being a little weird because she says,
it's possible that Mr. Whitmore wasn't harmed. Maybe the offspring simply used him to return to the mother bazaar.
What?
Excuse me?
What's a bazaar?
Bazaar? Like what? And Cordelia leans to grab something as Xander and Buffy are like, what are you talking, like bazaar? Both of them are like, what did you just say? And as she leans to do this, Cordelia just knocks Buffy out with it because she was grabbing a metal bar.
Yeah.
That's what she was leaning to get. She just knocks Buffy out with a metal bar and Willow just knocks Xander unconscious.
It's not good.
Like it comes out of nowhere.
I was like, what just happened?
So they get thrown into a closet by Cordelia and Willow. We see other students from health class are like similarly just like dazed and helping them lock them in there. They close the door. Then they go get pickaxes and shovels from some place in the school that just has pickaxes and shovels hanging from the ceiling.
Elena literally paused while we were watching and was like, is this in the school?
Like, what is... Tell me the meaning of this.
What is this?
What is this random, like, haunted house, like, southern gothic shed in the middle of the school in Sunnydale, California.
It's like that commercial that plays during Halloween when the teenagers are like hiding from Leatherface.
And there's all those like, let's hide behind the hanging chainsaws.
Exactly.
That's what just happened here.
Let's hide behind the hanging pickaxes.
That's literally what happened.
Except we'll grab them and murder everyone.
And they all grab pickaxes and shovels and then file away. And it reminds me of like the Seven Dwarves and... Snow White, yeah. All I could think of was like, hi-ho. So I was like, please start singing that. But we see that Mr. Whitmore is helping them all file into that hole in the basement. We see Joyce go into the library. She's here to pick up Buffy, but she's not there.
Dun, dun, dun.
And Giles comes out and kind of lets her know that Buffy was never there. Joyce is pissed. Kind of goes on... a pretty rough rant about
this is when Joyce loses me again.
But this is also like, I feel like this is like 90s parenting that you would see on television shows.
I'm just mad at her.
Like, it's very on par for all the other moms you would see on TV.
She literally calls Buffy a burden. Like, that's like, you chose to have her. That's not a burden.
Yeah, the burden thing, I was like, oof. She's like, I don't want to say burden. But they are a burden. I was like, ooh, Joyce. Like,
No.
Yeah, I was like, eek, especially now watching it. It's like, I don't know about that.
Yeah, I didn't like that.
But Giles is such a cutie because at one point she asks, do you have children? And he's like, I don't. But then he's like, I kind of feel like I have children. Like, you know, I'm a librarian. I was like, you're adorable and
so
I love you.
So cute.
But this is when she goes into her big thing about, you know, her being a burden. And she picks up one of the books and she reads them out loud. And it's like Bristow's Demon Index and Hell's Offspring, which is a great band name, I call it.
Hell's Offspring?
Hell yeah.
But Offspring might get mad.
Or Bristow's Demon Index.
There you
like,
go.
That's a great
one. Or just Demon Index.
Yeah, just Demon Index.
We are Demon Index.
Hello, Cleveland.
Hello, Wisconsin.
But he takes the books away and he's like, oh, this doesn't have anything to do with Buffy. Don't worry about it.
A hobby of mine.
They hear a noise in the hallway and Giles asks what it was. And when Joyce turns to it, he opens a card catalog, takes out a hatchling and just plops it onto Joyce's back.
Just yeets it out.
I got an Egbert. Boop,
Egbert.
Just right on your back. She screams, we go to commercial.
So much. So clearly now we know that Giles is
one
in
of
on
them,
this.
Whatever this is.
One of them.
So they leave together. Clearly now both of them are in this like dazed state that Willow and Cordelia were in.
Yep.
And yeah, their bodies have been snatched, essentially. But they fall in line getting into that hole in the wall. And we see Buffy waking up and she just smacks the shit out of Xander to get him to wake up.
It's really funny.
And it's funny because when he wakes up, he's like, this is not as cool as the last time that Cordy dragged me in here. And he almost lets it out. Then he's like, head trauma. I'm sorry. And you're like, ooh, you almost let that out. Which Buffy, like, do you not... You're not picking up what he's putting down. Like, they've been pretty obvious.
She's so
right
preoccupied
now,
that she's just like, I don't have time
right
for that.
Right now, like, she's definitely got other
but
things on her mind.
Obvious.
But I'm like, guys, I think Willow is starting to understand what's going on here. But either way, they find out that they've been locked in there and there's two unhatched eggs in there with them. So Buffy just fixes this right up. She just takes a toolbox and smashes both the eggs to bits.
Goodbye.
It's so disgusting. It just like oozes out. And then she just kicks down the door. Like none of that. That was the most anticlimactic. It was like, oh no, two eggs, squash. Oh no, the door is locked, kick. And they're just out. I love it because Xander's like, thank you.
Thanks.
But they remember that Willow mentioned Bazaar and they have no idea what that means. And they're like, now we're not going to have Willow to help. And they find out they're not going to have Giles to help either.
It's a mess.
So luckily when they go into the library, they see that Giles was already on it.
Hell yeah.
And he left the book open discussing what was actually happening. And Xander steps on a shell in there. So he's like, I'm assuming Giles has also been taken. Now we see Giles and Joyce making their way into that hole. The whole class is in there. They've all been taken over. They're all opening this giant crack in the floor and they're like retrieving eggs from it and handing them to Mr. Whitmore.
It's very
like through
strange.
Cordelia. And everybody's just dazed. Like, I'm assuming they're just going to unleash all these creatures on the residents of Sunnydale and just make a whole community of drones, essentially. But the floor is like undulating and you see that it's the body of Mama Egbert under there.
Yeah.
And she gross.
It's like the thing in the final installment of Hell's fucking Fear Street.
Yes, that we never really find out what exactly it is.
Yeah.
You're right.
It's just like that.
Yeah, it really is.
It's breathing.
So it's story time in the library because Buffy is telling that tale as old as time about their foe of the week. And this is exactly how she says it.
Prehistoric parasite. The mother hibernates underground laying eggs. The offspring then attach themselves to a host, taking control of their motor functions through neural clamping.
Xander's not for this. He's like, hates neural it. Clamping? Like, what the fuck? And he's like, what does Mama want? Because she's like, obviously they're taking, like, command from her.
Right.
And outside, in the hallway, we hear somebody screaming for help. And of course, it's poor Jonathan.
Jonathan!
Who is being attacked by an Egbert. And Egbert attaches to him. And before Xander and Buffy can get out there, he stops screaming. And then he's like, I just slipped. So they follow him because he's fake as fuck. They're like, clearly we know what's going on here.
Why are you always lying?
Yeah. Why are you lying, Jonathan?
Come on.
So Buffy and Xander follow Jonathan. And he makes his way into that little random, like, hi-ho situation with the whole school in the basement. And Xander tells Buffy to be careful, but then he literally falls all over himself getting into that hole.
Per usual.
And Ash said, same.
I was like, that is relatable.
And they go in there and they see this giant, disgusting creature in the floor. And Buffy's like, you know, the eggs can't be allowed to leave this building.
No.
Like, they'll wreak havoc. So Xander's like, okay, you go find a giant weapon. I'm going to act like I've been taken over and I'll, like, kind of integrate in there.
Boom. It's a plan.
It is a good plan. And so Buffy makes her way back into the boiler room and she runs straight into Tector.
Ooh!
And Lyle Gorch.
The Gorches.
So Tector immediately is like, she's cute and she's little.
Can we keep her?
Can we keep her? Gross. And I love it. She's not even like, she's so used to this kind of foul behavior that she's like, guys,
not
this really
time.
Isn't a great time. Like, it's not a great time for me to have to kick your ass. And Lyle goes to attack her, but Buffy beats him with a pipe, which
and
is amazing.
And by the way, I thought your plan there, Lyle, was to get her when Lyle. She was alone.
And at one point, after she kicks Tector into a wall behind him, Lyle gets pissed and tackles her, and they fall through the hole in the wall and tumble into that whole scene that's happening. And Buffy sees that Joyce is there, and it's really sad because she's like, Mom? Oh, it, like, killed me. And Willow just looks at the rest of the drones and goes, kill them. And I was like, oh.
Just so monotone.
Willow.
Kill them.
I was like, ooh, look at Willow being like, kill
Damn.
Them.
That's not Willow.
That's not my Willow.
She needs a Snickers.
But then Buffy and Lyle are having to fight together against the drones, which is a very strange and funny turn of events.
That was a cool little twist.
I liked it because at one point Lyle's like, what the hell are these?
Yeah, he's like,
and she's like, I don't know. But it's like, for a moment, they're on the same team. It's very strange. And Xander follows Cordelia, who's carrying a crate of eggs, up into the school. And he gets in front of her and he's like, I don't want to hurt you some of the time.
Yeah, right.
But Cordy punches him and he reflexively punches her out cold.
But then you can tell he feels bad.
Because she's not her.
No.
And, like, she could kill him.
He had to do that.
So, like, you have to fight her. It's kind of like people fighting Buffy. It's like a very weird dynamic that has to happen when you turn into another creature.
Yeah.
But, like, you still look like you. It's very weird.
It's
and he feels really bad. And Tector up there finally makes it into the nest and he spits into his hands.
Ugh.
And is ready to fight. But then he sees Mama Bazaar in the floor.
That's quite the rhyme you had there.
That should be a children's book.
Mama Bazaar in the floor. Once upon a time, there was a Mama Bazaar, and she was in the floor. The
Kids,
end.
Gather round. We're going to read Mama Bazaar in the floor.
In the floor.
Now sit on the floor, kids.
Mama Bazaar's not right there. And that was Mama
Bazaar. You got to pick up your toys off the floor, because Mama Bazaar could be in the floor.
That's I'm going to literally use that as a parenting technique.
It's a good, like, you better listen to what I say, because Mama Bazaar's in the floor.
We love a good myth.
We
just
do.
Scare your children with a myth.
We love a good urban legend.
I love a fable, if you will.
I love a fable. It's my favorite. So he leans over, and it opens its disgusting eye.
I hate
and
it.
He just goes, hello. And then it responds by just shooting out this disgusting, thick, ropey tentacle at him, which wraps around his neck, and it just yanks him in and devours him whole.
Bye, Tector.
Bye, Tector. I can't say your name anyway.
You did.
You gotta go. So Lyle's upset.
And he thinks it's Buffy's fault.
He blames Buff. And he just starts trying to fight her. But Joyce attempts to crush her skull with a pickaxe at the same time. But tentacles grab her ankle. She picks up a pickaxe, but is dragged into the hole.
It's a lot. And there's you're like, a lot holy shit. On.
Yeah, it's like intense. And we hear the bazooer and we see it here, like screaming.
It's Mama.
And you hear Buffy just hacking at it. And you're like, damn, that's smart. My girl.
That was my quick girl. Thinking to be like, let me grab this pickaxe.
That's our girl. And so the drones gather around the hole and they're all just like staring and we're all just staring too. We're all just waiting what the fuck's going to happen. And we see the Bazooer's eyes roll back and close.
Rip.
And then the drones like all fall down as the Egberts all fall off of them.
Yep.
And they just slump to the floor.
Zoom.
Lyle is looking around the room, but he's quiet. And he looks in the hole and we see a black gunk, gooey covered pickaxe thrown over the edge. And then Buffy just hoists herself up.
She's like
covered in black goo. Hey. She's like Carrie at the end of Carrie.
Yeah.
And she's like, fuck you. Like she looks pissed. He just looks at her and is like, this isn't over. And then he just runs away.
It is.
He's so pathetic.
Yeah.
I hope we see Lyle again.
Mikey called him a Looney Tune.
Mikey called him a Looney Tune.
He was like, he's like a Looney Tune, like from the cartoon.
Because he just like bops away.
God, this ain't over.
So this ain't over. So everyone just looks like a mess. They're all outside. Everyone's dazed, does not know what happened. Sirens are going off in the background. And Giles says this to everyone.
It was a gas leak, everyone. We'll just get some air and good night's rest. You know, you'll be fine. These gas things... It'll happen.
If these gas things happened where I went to school, I'd be like, Mom, I have to go somewhere else.
These gas things will happen.
What?
You know, they will.
That's what you say about a fart in the wind. It's not a fucking gas leak.
These toots will happen, okay?
Those will happen. Gas leaks, like active ones, not so much.
They shouldn't happen.
No.
Like when the librarian is the one telling you the news too, like start spreading the news and it's the librarian.
Yeah.
Like there's problems.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because where the fuck is Snyder?
Probably being a dick somewhere.
Where's he been? Is he just in a refrigerator being a dick?
He's probably working with the cops somewhere.
Yeah, he's doing something.
The quote unquote cops.
He's just off shaking it with Makita somewhere.
Oh, shit.
Xander asks Willow and Cordy how they're doing.
How are you?
And Willow's like, I'm so sorry I knocked you out. Like, my bad.
My mom didn't say too.
And Cordy, she did not. And Cordelia asks if she hit him too. And he's like, okay, like, yes, everyone hit me. And Cordelia says, good. Well, I don't mean good because I hit you, but I didn't want to be left out.
I feel that.
I love Cordelia so
much. Like, you
know
what? I feel it.
So Buffy is now clean. She's in new clothes. And she asks Xander how Joyce is. And we see Joyce, like, relieved walking up to Buffy. And she's like, oh, my God, Buffy, it was a gas leak. And I thought you were trapped inside. Like, she was freaking out. And after a moment, she's like, wait a second. I told you to go to the library. And you weren't in the library. Like, she just goes right into mom mode.
I literally would have been like, I was in the bathroom.
I was in the bathroom. I was in a gas leak, Mom.
I went to the bathroom.
I would have been like, I passed out. It was a gas leak.
Yeah, like, there's so many excuses. Yeah.
You should have said you passed out in the bathroom. I just came too.
Literally.
But yeah, she's pissed because she's like, you need to learn some fucking responsibility. And then she tells her she's going to be confined to her bedroom indefinitely, only to pee outside of it and eat and go to school.
Not the best.
90s parenting, y'all.
Yeah.
90s parenting. I don't think there's a lot of you're going to be confined to your bedroom going on with today's generation of parents.
I would hope not.
I would hope not because it's not really, I don't think it's a great way to go about it.
No.
It doesn't really teach anybody anything.
Nope.
No. So yeah, so Buffy's just like, yeah, the 90s. And the next scene we hear a bunch of crickets and shocker, Buffy and Angel kissing.
What?
And Angel asks if she's gonna get in trouble, and she says that she deserves it after everything she's gone through. Like, she deserves to be making out with Angel.
She absolutely does.
And then she says, also, I'm not technically breaking any rules, And the camera pans back and you see that they are just making out while he sits outside the window.
Buffy really said, come to my window.
She literally said that. Yeah. Just like that, too.
I heard it.
It was the 90s.
Kevin.
But we hear Joyce call up and say it's time for bed. And she's like, okay, I'll go to bed in a minute. And then she kisses Angel again and sappy music plays. And all I could concentrate on was how fucking comically huge that window was.
It's true. It's all she could talk about. She paused. She rewound. She said, that window looks big to you too, right? And I said, yeah, it does.
I said, I'm not kooky, right? That's a big window.
And I said, you're pretty kooky, but yes, that's
but
a big window.
But it's also a big window. I don't know. It was just a big window. That was a lot.
Yeah, she thick.
She was. And also a fun fact for the episode that Mikey found.
Ooh.
Apparently, Sarah Michelle Gellar and David Boreanaz used to prank each other, especially during like this episode when they make out a lot. And they would eat like shit foods, like pungent foods before kissing each other to gross each other out.
That's so
which is
mean.
Kind of foul.
That is really foul. Have you ever kissed somebody with bad breath?
But in the best way, because I'm like, that's hilarious.
That is funny.
And the fact that they would do it to each other, that's funny.
I love it.
That's just good fun.
That's some good lol.
That's some good wholesome fun, Sarah and David.
LOL.
So all in all, I think there was some good lines in this show, in this episode.
In this show.
Cordelia, for the most part, had a lot of funny lines.
Yes, she did. I think for my quote of the week was when she said that eggs don't emote.
I do love that.
I thought that was really funny.
I really liked
it
that.
It slayed me.
I think that's fun. I do love when Willow said, like, the weirdness of them.
Yeah.
That was
yeah,
funny to
of
me.
Them.
I would say my most valuable slayer, it's got to be Buffy. This week.
Yeah, it's definitely Buffy.
It's got to be Buffy. Xander was good because he was helping Buffy out, I would say. But Buffy is really, she got it
this
week.
Yeah, most valuable slayer. And I think her badass Buffy moment of the week was when she threw the toolbox on the eggs and then kicked the door down.
It was so good.
It was really good.
And I just love, she really beat the shit out of some gross dudes this week.
And some gross Mama
Egberts.
Egberts, yeah, yeah.
Mama Egberts.
So I already did my wooden stake stab.
Was there any sexual tension this week?
No, none.
Yeah, I didn't see any.
I didn't see anything at all.
Blink and you'll miss it, I think.
Mikey
I don't know.
Was like, it was like watching an OnlyFans.
Yeah, like literally. Yeah. It was like, whoa.
It was a lot.
I was like, did I pay for this? What's going on?
Is this pay-per-view? So I did my wooden stake stab already, but my Ask the Watcher calls back to School Hard.
Ooh, my favorite.
Am I going to find out this season what Principal Snyder's doing with the cops? Is that going to get wrapped up at all? Like, am I going to get anything?
You'll find out some stuff.
This season.
I can't guarantee that. I honestly don't remember what season.
What kind of watcher are you?
Because the seasons, like, are kind of blurred together in my mind. Just
turn.
You know? Exactly. But you're going to find out.
Okay.
And you won't have to wait, like, a billion years for it. Like, you will find out in the near future.
Alrighty.
Things will become very clear.
Okay.
In the near future.
Okay.
But yeah, I think it was great. I think it was a good filler episode. It moved some stuff along.
Yeah.
I don't hate it.
I don't think I would watch it again.
I don't love it, but I don't hate it.
Yeah, I'm ready for some action next episode.
And I think you're going to be getting it.
All right.
So. Don't worry.
Well, yeah, you know, and if in the meantime the apocalypse comes,
beep me.
The Rewatcher, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, is hosted and executive produced by us, Ash Kelly and Elena Urquhart. Our associate producer is Avery Siegel. Chris Kirk is our post-producer. Music supervisor is Scott Velasquez. And our original theme song was written and performed by Nerf Herder. For Wondery, Emily Feld is our senior producer. Executive producers are Dave Easton, Stephanie Jens, and Marsha Louie.
Murder on My Mind, a new podcast available exclusively on Wondery Plus, explores the circumstances leading up to the murder of two young men and the mistrials of the man accused of killing them. Up-and-coming rapper YNW Melly gained notoriety in the hip-hop world for his shocking lyrics and criminal exploits. When two of his best friends were gunned down in a drive-by shooting, investigators suspected the young rapper staged the scene. But after not one, but two trials that ended in hung juries and new evidence that may place YNW Melly at the scene of the crime, his trial has been paused indefinitely. With countless twists and turns, Law and Crime covers all angles of the case and begs the question, is this young artist the victim of a witch hunt or a silver-tongued devil who's evil to the core? Listen to Murder on My Mind exclusively and ad-free on Wondery Plus. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.